You might like to open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 21. And in the light of the history that's gone by, 15 months ago, we were in Jeremiah 29. And I'm sure you remember all 29 chapters and what we did, but not likely. So therefore, I'm going back to 29. But before I go back to 29, I'm just going to sort of brush up the general picture. So when we get to 29, you're ready to go with it. So in the light of that, 2 Kings chapter 21, Hezekiah is king. He's a good king. Hezekiah off the scene, and Manasseh comes on the scene. Manasseh 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. Verse 2, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So for 55 years, you have a horrible king. And it just goes from bad to worse. That's what it does. So, 55 years ends, chapter 21. And verse 19, his Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, etc. Verse 2, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So now we've got 57 years. 57 years of going downhill. The people have been conditioned for 57 years. So, some comes along, Josiah, chapter 22, and verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah. And the daughter of Adoniah of Boscath. So, here's Josiah comes along. Josiah, by the way, verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. Remember, that was the key for the good kings. You would label the good kings after David. David is the good king. Everyone that's like David, they're tagged, that they're like David. They're like they're supposed to be. And verse 2 again, he did that which was evil right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He steered a straight course. And he did that straight course all the way. Now, but for almost 57 years, it has not gone straight. So now, here's a good king, and he has to go and face a nation that has been buried in idolatry and evil. So, how far are we going to go? Well, the good king is a good king, and in the process, though, the people are so conditioned that the good king can do all the things to legislate and do everything to try to make it right. But don't be discouraged, good king, because you're only a good king. And kings can't change hearts. God can. So here's the good king, and he's going to reign 31 years. And he, remember, we did all these things somewhere in the past. In chapter 22 and in verse 8, remember Hilkiah, he found the Bible, the law, the Old Testament. He found the Old Testament. He broke down, verse 11, It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. Here's this young man, young king, and they read, they pull, they haven't read the Bible. They haven't done anything, no Bible, no, we're 57 years, we don't do that. So in the process, he was very disturbed. And he went and cleaned up, fixed up, repaired, and did a lot of things to try to make things better. But they aren't going to get better, even though you fix the laws and you fix this, better taxes and better this. It doesn't change. It doesn't change the mood or the people. They all go along with whatever, but their heart's still the same. So having done all that, and in fact, he's going to have a, not here, you're going to see it, he has a Passover that hasn't been done since the judges or whatever. No Passover was like it. So here's all these years that have gone by. And why weren't they having a feast and everything and celebrating? They weren't doing that. They weren't doing that. They weren't understanding and enjoying being God's people. Therefore, so when we come to chapter 22, picking up if I can, here's Josiah comes to the end here. And picking up, please, oh, you'll catch the flavor of it quickly in verse 19. Now remember, Josiah is a good king. And without, well, we will turn there. Over, I'm going to hold your finger here in 2 Kings 22. Hold your finger there and go over to Chronicles and chapter 35. And in Chronicles, second Chronicles, chapter 35. And in 2 Chronicles 35, remember, Chronicles is looking at history from the priest, not from the kings. So when you're reading the same things, it's just how they report it. And so what did they report that we don't have in Kings? They reported about Josiah's death. And remember, Josiah went, and Pharaoh Necho, up in verse 20, 35 verse 20, and after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish, way up in the north end of Palestine, by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, he's Egypt, remember, he's passing through without getting into all of that, because then we'll get caught up in that. Here the Pharaoh's going up there, he's going to fight against the Babylon and all of this, Syria, Babylon kind of thing. And all the way up there, and in the process, I have to read it, verse 21. And he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah?" That's Josiah. "I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee, from meddling with God." Don't, God told me to go, said Pharaoh. Told me that he, God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now Josiah, it's an enemy, he's an enemy. There's a time to fight enemies. There's a time you don't fight your enemies. You don't fight them. And Joshua, the king, Pharaoh, he said, "Leave me alone. I'm not going to do it. I just need to get passage through the land northward." And Josiah just didn't listen. And so he died. He died. And he died. And Pharaoh, they killed him. He didn't have to die, but he wanted to fight the battle. So lesson again, a lesson. Don't fight battles that aren't to be fought at that given time. Don't fight them. I think of Adolf Hitler among people of history. I think he was attempted to be killed 5, maybe 6 times And all of those times, you never can get them. It isn't God's time. In God's time, everything works. Hang on to that. But it wasn't God's time, so it never worked. Now, so here's Josiah. Now, my point that I wanted to get at, as you slide down, go down to, Josiah was a good king, etc. Verse 25, and Jeremiah, 35, 25, and Jeremiah lamented, grieved, for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations, which is the proper thing to do to this day, and made them in an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they were written in the lamentations. So here's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is there. Jeremiah, remember now, there are four wonderful prophets there, Nahum and Zephaniah, and Jeremiah and Habakkuk, four prophets, all during the days of Jeremiah, during Josiah. Boy, he got a lot going for him, but it didn't change the people, didn't change the course. But Jeremiah lamented. He didn't want to see Josiah die. What's going to happen when Josiah dies? Four bad kings, and the end, the Babylonian captivity. In 586, four bad kings, boom, 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 boom. And Jeremiah lamented that Josiah died. But you know, it had to change. It was time to change. If Josiah lived another 10 years, would the people be different? Would anything be different? Would the educational be different? We wait another 10 years? Is the educational system going to improve? Isn't it set and just keeps growing and developing? Everything's just what it's going to do. You want more time? More time, everything keeps going. The weeds keep growing and everything else. Now, having said that, Jeremiah lamented. He wished it didn't happen. We wish a lot of things don't happen, but they have to happen. Over to chapter 2 Kings, chapter 22. And so, 2 Kings chapter 22, may I go directly to verse 19. Now, this is Josiah and God, and the things that you'll pick it up. Verse 19. Because he's being admonished by the prophetess. Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest that I spake against this place, Jerusalem. Against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become desolate and a curse. And thou hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. Because he knew, here's what God said was going to happen, Deuteronomy all the way through. And he hears, reads, he's read, had read to him what was predicted about the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes and Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, the end of verse 19, thou hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, verse 20, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in thy grave. That's when he dies. Pharaoh has him, gets killed. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not, N-O-T, see all the evil which I will bring upon this place, Jerusalem. And they brought the king word again. Wow. So Jeremiah is sad. God is gracious to Josiah. God understands he was being gracious and to Josiah, a good king, but the people weren't in tune with a good king. So therefore, in the process, in all of this, looking, if I can, the bad kings, etc., and the pages have to be turned. as we shared 100 times, a couple of three times anyway, the pages have to be turned. Each page, you go to the next page. That's your history. That's how it is. Every page. They're all done. So here's the pages. The pages of history have to be turned, and they have to, the story, human story, has to finish. Say it another way. The artist has everything in his head, and he has a picture. It is just a blank canvas, and he commences to begin the picture, the painting, and the details as you get further along, like in a stone, marble, ivory, etc., they get more detailed in what you do. And the painting has to be finished. The book, Human History, has to be finished. The painting has to be finished. We aren't talking about an average writer. We aren't talking about an average painter. When you're at the top, the Michelangelos and all of them, you don't start something and leave it. Your name's at stake, your fame's at stake, your reputation's at stake. It's your name, it's your work, it's God's work. So the book has to be finished, and the painting has to be done. God's name is at stake. Do you understand? He's going to do it. He's not the average. You start something and then, well, it won't work, we'll do it. No, sir. No, sir. Now, hang on to that, if you would. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. So, in the light of that, God's going to do and finish his wonderful work. For Israel, he's going to finish his wonderful work. For the church, he's going to finish his wonderful work. The artist is going to finish. God's going to finish. And therefore, everything is going to end. It has to end. So everything has to move. History has to momentum, and it has to move. It's moving. And you can't stop it. Individuals, Samuel was sad when King Saul died, etc. He shouldn't have been sad. Jeremiah's laments when Josiah dies, but they have to. They have to go off the scene. It's a movement, and it must take place. Now, having said that, a little bit, and keeping that in mind, in God's grace, so, over, if you would please, over to Jeremiah. And as we go to Jeremiah, keep in mind, Jeremiah and chapter 1. And in the process, here's Jeremiah in the same period as the other three prophets. And Jeremiah is there. And in the process, in verse 1, Jeremiah is the priest. He's a priest, priestly family. He lives in the little town, approximately 3 miles north of Jerusalem, in an oath. He lives just a little bit further away. That's where his home is. You know it, as we did Jeremiah. And that's where his home is. Now, he's there, and God's going to do a wonderful thing with him. So, and in the process, in these days, Jeremiah is raised up, and the book is written so that we can have all this information in detail. So we come to verse 4, if I can. In verse 4, and then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I did all of this before you were born. I knew everything. I knew when you went from one cell to two cells to four cells to 16 cells to 32 cells, 32, 64, 128, keep going. Wow, double, 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 double. I knew all those cells. I knew them. I knew what I was doing when I allowed you to be created. Oh, God, you did that. Mm-hmm. So God, from here we are on planet Earth, here Jeremiah was, and Jeremiah understood that his very makeup, his very existence was of God. Can't do without it. I don't want to avoid it, evade it. I want to understand it. So now, having said that little bit, here's Jeremiah with all of that, picking up over to, if I can now, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I cannot speak. It is not in me. It is not in myself. I'm just me. Here I am. I'm God. I'm just me. I'm just a little old priest. I'm not a big high priest or anything. I'm just of a priestly family. I'm just an ordinary guy. That's what Jeremiah said. I'm just a child. I'm not a child. I'm a child. Wow. Now, what are you going to do? Well, I can't speak, but here I am. And you know I can't do the job. So, and you remember, without turning there, in Exodus 4 and that, where Moses, who was highly trained to be next in line with Pharaoh, if that were to be, he had everything, knowledge, science, all kinds of stuff. And he says, when God tells him to go at 80 years old, to go speak to Pharaoh and that, he said, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I can't do that. It's interesting, God, when you pick people, that they aren't over-enthused to say, I'll do it. The only ones that did that and to demonstrate that's not the way to go is in Exodus 19, when the Israelites said, what did they say? The Israelites. They said, all that you say, God, chapter 19, we will do. All that you say, we will do. We're able to do it. Just tell us what you want. You want us to go lift that big rock? We'll go lift it. You want us to go build that building? We'll go build it. Tell us what you want us to do, and we'll do it. But it doesn't work that way, as the flesh does that. We like to think we can do things, and understandably. Now, so having said that little bit, in the light of that, now, verse 9, I'm going to read, let me just finish that off, and verse 7, and the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So God's telling him he's going to take care of the problem. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So don't back down, back off. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And that is the commencement of Jeremiah's journey for God, his commencement. Now, lesson. I have no idea what we did so many years ago on this, but we just do it all again, right? It comes out different. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And you'd remember in the Gospel of John, before I do that, hang on to that, I'm not going to, for time's sake, go over with me to chapter 1, John and chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, I want you to, you know it, but lock it in your mind, if you can, in your thought. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. God is the Word. He gives you His words, the words that come are God's words. Where do the words come from? God. God is the Word, is the Word. God, God the Son, is the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Sliding over, if I can, to John chapter 5. And we'll just do it a little quickly, but just to have a little bit. John chapter 5, remember, we're looking at the Word. What did God do for Jeremiah? He gave him His words. That's what He did. And Jeremiah, then, as he proceeded, God would keep giving him His words as the prophet. Over in John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word becomes flesh, the Word becomes flesh. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. A unique, awesome transition from death to life. Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, the word makes that possible. Chapter 6, sliding quickly to verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. God the Spirit dealing with a human spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, my words. The God is the Word become flesh. The Word is God. God's is the Word. The words are God's. Verse 63. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're full of life. Full of life. Hang on to that. Wonderful, full of life. God's wonderful record, His words, inspired words for your Bible. Now, chapter 14. And in chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, my words. And the word which you hear, is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Verse 24, it's the Word. It's God the Father. It's His Word. The Word become flesh by way of God the Son. Thus, so wonderfully God, chapter 20. So as we're looking, God, the Word, the words are full of life. And in John chapter 20, as you come to the end of the Gospel of John, the whole point of these word believe over 199 times is for what? Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe. The words are written. Believe, that might believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, to know him and honor him. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Father. The Father giveth the Son the words. The Son delivers the words in the person, the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, over to 1 John, the Word, as we're moving along, it's the Word. God is doing, it's His Word working in us, believing it, trusting it, understanding it. So we're looking at God. As we look at the God, we're able to look at the Bible, His Word, God. God His word. God, his word. Back in God, we got it. We got it. His words. Now, what's the prophet doing? The prophet's doing, God gives him the words to say at a given time, in a given place. And that's what happens. But with our Lord, he is the word. He is the word, his wonderful person. And so everything about him and all his words are God's words. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, his word. God. It never stops. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore, over to 1 John. And in 1 John, may go to chapter 1, and would you note with me in it, just that I'm just picking up the mood, here's John continuing, 1 John 1:4, these things write them down. Jeremiah, that's why you have the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived it and wrote it. How could he write it? Because he lived it. Hang on. Now, so verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So it's a communicating of the word of God, God's words, so that we could have a relationship to God. Chapter 2, verse 21. If I can, in verse... I'll read in verse 20. But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, Spirit of God, and you know all things. Know all things, okay. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So you know the words. The Spirit of God is what? He's going to bring the words home to us in a most wonderful way. All things. You know all things, right? You're all very smart. I'm very privileged to be in your presence. You know everything. Hang on. Over, if you would, verse 27. But the anointing which you've received, of him, chapter 2, verse 27, the anointing which you've received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So therefore, back over, if I can, in the verse 20, the end of verse 20, all things, slide over to verse 27, all things, so keep, if you... when you get time to read it and put it together, all things. The prophet Jeremiah couldn't say that. Daniel couldn't say that. Isaiah can't say that. But God can say it. All things. Well, God, maybe we're missing something. What do we need? And you'll notice, please, in verse 20, you have an unction from the Holy One, anointing the Spirit of God's wonderful anointing ministry to enable us to understand. Now, having said that, over, if you can, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 again. You know these things. I'm just trying to put the pieces together for you. John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, may pick up, please, in verse 26. But the Comforter, 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, we're just looking, talking to about him, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? All things. Got the all things, hang on to them. You have all things. You know all things. Now, how can that possibly be true? Verse 26, and teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, chapter 16, and the Spirit of God, you're going to say it again. Remember, we're going back to John, the upper room. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Wonderful, wonderful outworking. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, if you took time, and over, you can hold your finger right here. Go over to the book of Revelation and chapter 19. And in chapter 19, verse 10. And I tell you, I fell at his feet, said John, to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He is the Word become flesh. And all that God has thinks, wants, does, says in his word. You received him if you believed as your Savior. You received the word become flesh who has it all right now. Hang on. Back over, if I can, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, may go directly verse 14. And he, the Spirit of God, shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So is there anything missing, God? No. God says, I know everything. I'm omniscient. Omnipresence, omnipotent. Wow. Now, God. So, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make possible for us what, when Christ died on the cross, to bring about a unique relationship to God, that God, our Father, Abba Father, our Father, and we're able to come to our Father, who is the Father, who's the only God, the only Savior. He's the only Father. He's the source. And the Lord Jesus Christ died to give us a relationship to God in his triunity. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and make for us, which we could never touch, because of Christ, when you received him as your Savior, he is the Word become flesh. And when you received his Word, got saved, he told you how to get saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And got saved, and God did a wonderful thing in your head and in your heart, and he brought himself into your life. Now hang on. Thus in the process of that wonderful, wonderful thing, go over with me please now to 1 Corinthians. And what do we know? In 1 Corinthians, picking up in thought. And you'll notice verse 9, we did it somewhere recently. Verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart is to ascend upward, to move upward, to move up, to go higher, hang on. Entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And the word prepared is to make ready in a most wonderful way, to prepare. So God, and we shared it, the easiest thing to remember is just think of a ship pulling up to a dock, big ship, and the ship pulls up to the dock before it starts its journey, and you take the cargo down in the dock, and you lift it up, and it's all ready for the journey, and you take it up and put it on board the ship before you take off. Got that? That's what God did. God said, before I start you on the journey of your unique relationship to me, I have everything in mind for you. I put everything that I have in mind for you. When I saved you, I already have given it to you. That's why I keep telling you, you don't have to, oh God, what are you going to do? No, God has already done. I need to thank God for what he's done and believe him, walk by faith and not by sight, and go down the corridor. That's what I need to do. It's an adventure. You say you're walking, you can't see. No, we're walking by faith. That's what we're doing. Hang on. Now, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us. How did God make all of these things known that he has put on board? And by his Spirit. What are we looking at? The anointing. 1 John, he anointed you. You know all things. You have all things. Yes, you do. Verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So is there anything God isn't going to make known or outwork? No. Nothing. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Us humans can all count and read a little bit and do things, and we feel we know we're able to relate to other humans. But when it comes to God, there's no dice. Nothing works. We're on AM like we should on Sunday. No FM. No, we can't. God does. God knows all about God. Humans, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Flesh doesn't know. God does. Hang on. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. When you got saved, God the Holy Spirit saved us. But the Spirit which is of God, that purpose we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's why you go Genesis to Ezekiel. That's what you're doing. I can't go to Webster's Dictionary and get some popular book and do it. It has to be God's book. It has to be his words, his wonderful words that he says. They aren't there. Other people can write books about the Bible and everything, but it isn't the Bible. The Bible, God's words. The word became flesh. So, God's going to go and help us understand and teach us. So that's what we do. We do that. A lot of people don't like that. That's fine. Why don't you just say one thing and tell me three things of what it means? Well, then you can't fit it in. Tell me where that goes. Tell me where Ezekiel goes to Daniel. Tell me where Daniel goes to Matthew. What kind of threads are you going to have? What kind of rug are you going to have? The threads all need to be tied. That's how my Kmart suit. What are you going to do? All the threads are tied, even. That's what makes a complete thing. Otherwise, you don't know. Well, I know that, but you don't know that. You only know a little bit about that. Now, so therefore, on that awesome exercise a little bit, so God, what are you doing? Well, and we know, go with why you're here. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just add to that. I have a minute, not much though. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And would you allow me to go verse 20, 3 and 20? And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, professing them, think of Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why not? For all things are yours. Don't tell me you're going to say that again to me. All things are yours. That's right. You don't need to have truth. God, it's given it. God, we got to look for it. No, you don't. You done got it. Verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Jesus, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, that's Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And we are Christ, and Christ is God's. So God, what have you done for us? You've done a wonderful thing. So here, the prophet of all the prophets, our Lord Jesus Christ, when you received him as your Savior, in your heart, here's Moses, the prophet, Jeremiah, Isaiah, you got them? Well, and all of those prophets, everything those prophets ever recorded in your word, in your heart, if you're saved, God is the one that gave it to them. And where is God in your heart? The same God. He is the one who knows it all. That's why you have all things. They were prophets. They were given a moment to speak, and then they'd have to wait for another moment. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. If you're saved, how are you going to be saved? Jesus Christ is God, the Word become flesh. And thus, God in my little heart, your little heart, the big heart, your little hearts. Right now, all of yesterday, forever, and all of tomorrow, and all of the wonderful promises and predictions that are going to be happening, that God resides in your heart if you're saved. And he is already in charge of the words, all things that you don't even know. He knows them. He's the one that's exercising them. He's the one that's going to outwork them in your life, out of your life, out of the body of believers, the whosoever's that believe, as they're assembled together. Do you understand? It's the person. The Spirit of God has the whole ball of wax. He has the whole thing. That's why it's going. And I don't have to worry and wonder. I don't know all the prophecy. I don't know I don't know hardly anything. But he does. And that's why 1 John, you have all things already. No one needs to tell you that. You already know that. Don't you know that? You already have everything. You already have it. What do you mean? The one who's in charge, that's your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's the one going to do it. He's the one doing it. And as you read and study, you can read, and he's the one that gave it to you to read, and you read it and study it, and thank God for his understanding and his outworking. And that's what's going to happen, the wonderful outworking. He's the prophet, and you become, have the advantage over all the prophets that ever will live. Do you understand that? In Christ Jesus, God in you is the author of all those prophets and all those prophecies. And the book has to be finished. And the painting has to be complete. And the Spirit of God in you is outworking it. And you and I have our little spot. And here's the big painting of all of time in the middle of eternity. And you and I are privileged to have a little spot in that painting. Just a little spot. It's part of us. Are we part of the book? We're part of the book. Closing. Oh, closing. 2 Corinthians. I hope you got a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in, what's those two words? All things. The grace of God to make all things work. There it is. To make in all things may abound to every good work. So God, do you understand? You have a huge relationship. God has made possible. And the God, I just heard Israel had a different prime minister. I guess that's not so good. All of that. He lost, someone told me. That's too bad. But that fits the country. That matches. They all ought to match. The dominoes, we all ought to make them the same. Oh, boy. Hey, now. So here we are. And we're able to go. And God, you've given us everything. So what about my life tomorrow? What about what's going to happen with Babylon? What's going to happen with the Antichrist? What's going to happen with the United States and Israel and China and Russia? God's in charge. And God's outworking it. And so when you lay in bed tonight or wherever you do, God is busy doing what he does. And you couldn't be more involved. All you're doing is resting in his word and enjoying just being his. Just being his. Do you understand that?